There we go. All right. And as the ladies make their way down, kids, y'all can go ahead and be dismissed to Children's Church, and we'll make our way over there.
Well, if you would pray for Brother Joe, Miss Abby, they've been sick the last few days, and we want them to recover. The little one got it. Nehemiah got it and gave it to Mama, and Mama gave it to Daddy. Well, that's what you married couples get for smooching all the time, you know. All right. Before we can properly ask and answer the question, who we are, who are we? We've got to give some attention to who God is. Who is God? In John chapter 8 this morning, if you would please, our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord is confronting the Jews along with the Pharisees and giving them really a history lesson of who He is. That's a good lesson, right? Especially in relation to His Holy Father. And the reaction of the Pharisees is basically this: who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Well, our Lord tells them who He is. Well, that's an honest answer. Now, let me give you some selected verses here from John 8. We have a lot of reading to do today. And I'd like to give you some selected verses here from John 8, just for the sake of time. We could, of course, read the whole chapter, but follow along, please. Let's begin in verse 12. John chapter 8, beginning in verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Verse 16. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. Verse 23. And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath. Now, that's not a compliment. Okay? Ye are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. That's pretty important, then, isn't it? Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. So he had already told them, and he's going to tell them again. Verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, Ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which ye have seen with your father. Verse 42. Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but He sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. when he speaketh a lie. He speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Verse 47. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Verse 52. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast the devil. Abraham is dead in the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast seen Abraham? And thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verse 58, critical, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Well, that's profound. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. But we note in verse 58, Jesus told them, I am. The covenant, of course, name of God, covenant name meaning the self-existing one from eternity past all throughout eternity future. God who has no beginning and has no ending. Jesus did not tell them, notice here, that before Abraham, I was. But before Abraham, I am. I am. Meaning he existed before Abraham, he existed during the time of Abraham, and he existed after the time of Abraham. Jesus is clearly saying here that he is the self-existing one, he is the self-existing God, and they knew exactly what he said that he was saying. He's God in the flesh, because they took up stones to kill him, as commanded in their understanding by Leviticus 24, I believe it is, that they are to kill, to stone anyone who claimed to be equal with God. But Jesus did not commit blasphemy. He actually was telling them the truth, but they didn't have ears to hear it because their hearts were in tune with the devil and not with God. So Jesus Christ here claims to be God, and it's greatly found in 7, if not 8. Some men claim 8. I believe I would be in agreement with them about the great I am passages that are found in declarations that are found. The 7, at least, in the book, the Gospel of John. So of the Gospel of John, it is said it is a book that babies can wade in or elephants can drown in. And I believe that to be true. We find certainly elementary things that even a small child can understand. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We see the simple gospel. I received Christ, his gospel, when I was 8 years old. Not 18, but I was 8 years old. So it's certainly a gospel where babies can wade, but it also is a gospel where elephants can drown. There are great and deep and profound truths contained in this gospel. So vast, so beyond human comprehension. So serious, so sober is the matter before us in the revealed I am of Christ our Lord. Now Jesus used the same phrase, I am, in 7 declarations throughout this wonderful gospel about himself. In all 7 he combines the statement of I am with tremendous metaphors which expressed his saving relationship with people. Jesus loves people. He wants to save people. All, of course, of these appear, all seven of these appear in the book of John. Now, again, Jesus does not say, I was or shall be, but rather, I am. I am. Meaning, I was, I am, and I always shall be. The self-existing one, the great I am, is these things, according to his own declaration. In John chapter 6, verse 35, and I'll try to give you these where you can take fairly good notes. The first discourse, I am the bread of life, in John 6, 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. It's also found in verse 41, 48, and verse 51 of that same chapter. He said, number two, that I am the light of the world, in John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He also said, number three, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. He said, it didn't say I will be or I was, but I am. I am. I am. I am the door to the sheep. John 10, 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Verse 8 of that same chapter. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Jesus is the door. He also said, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd, also in chapter 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's an hireling and careth not for the sheep. Contrast to that, the Lord said, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. The Lord said, I'm the good shepherd. He said next, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. In John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That's a promise to all of our loved ones in the Lord who've gone on before. And for us as well. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He also said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth. John 14, 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am. Not I used to be or I will be, but I am. That's critical, by the way, to proper soteriology. I am. He said also, I am the true vine. I am the true vine in John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Verse 5 says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. The one source of life is God. And we better be attached to the vine. Now, all of these passages here which reveal Christ as really I am take us back, herald us all the way back to the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 3. So I invite you to turn way back in the book to Exodus chapter 3, where God appears to Moses, of course, in the burning bush which is not consumed. Here we find Moses had spent 40 years, of course, in Egypt, raised in Pharaoh's home, found out that he was a Hebrew, later saw the abuse of the Hebrew people, took matters in his own hands, and then fled from the house in the hand of Pharaoh, and now is in the land of Midian with a family now, tending sheep, and he comes up to the holy mountain of God and has an encounter with God. The servant has an encounter with God. Let's begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 3, Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb, that's Mount Sinai. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside. I bet you would have too. And see this great sight. Why the bush is not burnt? And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good land, and a large into a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I like to say, and any otherites that want to show up and fight against the great mighty hand of God. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppressions wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? Now he's seeing a little bit about who God is. And now he doesn't see himself so great and so grand. Quite the opposite. We'll get into that later. But again, he said in verse 11, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? God, what is your name? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am the self-existing one sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites into a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice. And thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And ye shall say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us. And now let us go. We beseech thee 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty. In other words, you shall not go with empty pockets. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. What a passage. And right here in this wonderful text, we find a lot about who God is. Who God is. First, I want you to see that God is transcendent. God is above all. He is above all nature, above all matter. He is the Creator God. He created. He's not part of the creation. He created. Again, in verse 2 of our passage in Exodus 3, angel of the Lord appeared in him in the flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called on him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. God is above all. God is beyond humankind. God is beyond Dr. Fauci. God is beyond our government. God is beyond all kings of the earth. God is beyond the universe. God is transcendent. Beyond all that. All that. Number two, God is immanent. God is immanent. In other words, God is engaged. God is near us. God is Emmanuel, God with us. God is not untethered from His creation, as the naturalists claim. He's engaged. Look at verse 4. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called on him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. In other words, I have relationships with you. I am engaged with you. I am aware of everything that you are aware of and a whole lot more. His God is imminent. He's present with us. He's imminent, by the way, through His omnipresence. He's imminent through the historical interaction that Christ had with humankind. He's also imminent through His redemptive work with mankind that we've heard a lot about in our songs this day. Now we see the combined transcendence and immanence in this occasion of the burning bush, because it's reflecting, of course, the glory of God. Not the full, but it's certainly reflective of the glory of God, that God is beyond. Is beyond the matter, beyond the normal understanding of physics. Come on. Amen. He's beyond all of that. And He's visiting with the servant Moses. He's talking with Moses. He's engaged with Moses. And by the way, He's engaged with you through His lovely word. Now, number three, God is eternal. God is eternal. In verse 4, again, and the Lord saw that he turned aside to see. God called on him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he says in verse 26, he says, Moreover, I said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Verse 13, and Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come to the children of Israel and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this shall be a memorial unto you. Verse 14 again, God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Now here what we have is a Christophany. It's a Christophany. It's a pre-incarnate appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ to his servant. The second person, of course, of the triune God, the God the Son. By the way, it's the same who appeared unto Abraham. Okay, following after the order of Melchizedek. You've heard of him. It's kind of a funny Old Testament name. But Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, gives us a lot of insight about this man, the priest of God. By the way, his name means King of Righteousness and King of Peace. Sound familiar? But we know this is talking more than just about a human king or a human priest because, let me just give it to you from Hebrews chapter 7, verse 3. How about that? Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. Who do you suppose meets that bill? Huh? Who? Jesus. God is eternal. Psalm 90, verse 1 and 2, the prayer of Moses, the man of God, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place for all generations. All generations. Before the mountains were brought forth. I love mountains, don't you? You go up, not long ago. I think it was Tori the first time you've ever seen the Rockies. Is that right? Is that the first time? Okay. Man, I tell you what, if you've never seen the Rockies, you've never seen some big mountains. If all you've ever seen is the Ozarks, you need to go west, young man. Go west. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even back beyond that, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. God has no beginning, no end. He's eternal. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God created. Not, the Bible doesn't say that God had a beginning. No, that God just made God in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He was present from eternity past, and he will certainly be present in eternity future and everywhere in between. The sense of our Lord is this. Not only I am what I am at present, but I am what I have been, and I am what I shall be, and shall be what I am. That's better than you thought. Let me run it by you again. Not only I am what I am at present, but I am what I have been, and I am what I shall be, and shall be what I am. In other words, Jesus Christ, again, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when you go through all of these declarations of Jesus said, I am, don't think, okay, Jesus was not, but all of a sudden now Jesus is, and then he's not going to, no. If Jesus is the door, he's always been the door. If he's the way, he's always been the way. You with me? All right, you got to be consistent. Consistency, thou art a jewel. It'll save you from all kinds of false doctrine out there. Number four. Jesus is empathetic. God is empathetic. God cares about you. And he cares about your troubles, your heartaches, your concerns. Verse 6 of our text, we said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham. Did Abraham have trouble? Come on. Did Abraham have trouble? Oh, man, he never had any trouble. You've read about Isaac. How would you like to take your promised son up Mount Moriah and cut his throat? I'd say that's trouble. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he's afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. God sees everything. God sees everything. There's nothing that's going on in your life that God does not see, clearly see. So, and heard their cry. God hears our cries. He hears our whimpers. He hears our groanings. I've heard the cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Ever have any sorrow? God is empathetic. Verse 9 says, now therefore behold the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. The great writer of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. And because of that, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace," listen now, "that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." God cares. He's empathetic. The Bible talks about the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 9:36. When he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted, were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Peter called Jesus the shepherd and bishop of our souls. A frightened servant of the Lord said in Psalm 142, "I looked on my right hand, beheld, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me, no man cared for my soul. I cried unto the Lord, O Lord," I said, "Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living." In the wonderful story of our Lord with Lazarus, dear friend of the Lord, he had died. Of course, the family was in great grief. Our Lord was out traveling and ministering according to sovereign plan of God, now makes his way to the family. When Mary was come where Jesus was, she saw him. She fell down at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." When Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned. I wish I had time to flush that out. It's an overwhelming outpouring of grief. He groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And I love this. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Then those two words that all of our children learn, Jesus wept. He wept. Then said the Jews, they were moved by this, "The greatest man who ever walked this planet." They said, "Behold how he loved him." Isn't that something? God is empathetic. God is empathetic. Brother Mark, bless his heart, Brother Mark dear, he has more than once sang the song, "Oh yes, he cares, I know he cares. His heart is touched by my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares." God is empathetic to mankind. And last I looked, that means you. And it means me. And number five, God delivers. We're learning about who God is. What's he like? God delivers. In our text in verse 17, "And I said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites unto a land flowing with milk and honey." Now again, we see the fact that Jesus is the I Am. So Jesus is the bread of life, light of the world, door of the sheep, good shepherd, resurrection and the life, the way, the truth and the life, and the vine. And here he is, the great I Am, with Moses. So Jesus is, guess what? Transcendent. He's above all. He's God. He is God. I pointed out last week the great error of the Bethel movement out of California. I won't make mention of it again, brother. The greatest heresy that's coming out of that group is coming out of a false understanding of the kenosis of Christ. That Jesus emptied himself of his divinity. That's rank heresy. Jesus is God, and he shall evermore be God. And he's not going to change that for you, for me, or from any guy that has a pretty hairdo out in California. Or no hairdo, for that matter. So Jesus is transcendent. Jesus is immanent. Jesus is eternal. Jesus, he cares. He's empathetic. And Jesus delivers. Jesus delivers. In the declaration in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 in the gospel, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Jesus delivers. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." If you're lost, only Jesus can deliver your soul. That's a fact. You can go to church, you can sign a card, you can go sit on a flat rock in Montana somewhere, but as sure as there's a sun and the moon, there's only one who can save, and that's Jesus Christ. If you want to go to heaven, there's only one way to get there. "No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But all who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved." Jesus delivers. If you've never asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins and trust you, trust Him for your salvation, you need to do so. Today is the day of salvation. Now, accepted time. Right now. You don't have to wait till a formal invitation is given. Call out the Lord. "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Come into my heart, forgive me my sins." And He'll give you the gift of eternal life. All right, Jesus delivers. Well, what about for the saved? Are all your troubles over when you got saved? All my troubles didn't end when I got saved. A lot of them just began. So I've needed a relationship. God with us, yes, and I have that relationship. And I still need to be delivered many times after I was saved. And so I call upon the Lord. And sometimes I just need to be delivered even from myself. I'm down in the dumps, you know, being a sad sack. And, you know, what's wrong? Is he sick? No, he's discouraged. You know anything about discouragement? If you don't, hang around. You're raising children. They walk on your feet when they're little. Walk on your heart, they get older. You'll know something about sorrow. This human design, human factor. In this world, you shall have tribulation. You lose a job, you find out you have cancer. My wife, she's gone through that. Our family. And it just kicks you in the gut. What's going to happen? Lord, what would I do without her? Could I bear it? Could I continue to serve you with my whole heart? I don't know, Lord, please don't take her. Please, Lord, don't take her. God delivers. Jesus delivers. And He's promised, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." I wouldn't give up Christianity for the greatest scientist on this planet. And I'd rather have Jesus than anything. But I have to first, before I want to try to get to know who I am or who we are, we've got to first give our attention to who God is. And then light of who God is, now we can get a proper picture of who we are. And you will not get a proper picture of who you are and who your neighbors are and who your fellow church members are and fellow citizens of the United States are, all the people of the world, until you have a proper view of the one who's holy, God of heaven. Then you put on a different set of glasses, and it makes sense. Until then, it won't make any sense at all. It won't make any sense at all until you start to look at God. Then everything is called illumination, by the way. Everything, the lights start to come on. And you say, "I never realized that before. I didn't see that before. And that's what happens when you call upon the Lord to be saved. The Holy Spirit moves in and the light bulbs start going off. And it is a wonderful, wonderful journey. I invite you to come join in that journey. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, that today you would ask Christ to save your soul. But maybe you're saved and maybe you've just forgotten that He's still with us and He'll still deliver you. Again, you say, well, I've already asked Him three times just last week. Well, He's available for number four. Let's stand together for prayer.